News. I'm Dave Packer. The city of Baltimore is working to clear the wreckage blocking its port after Tuesday's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse.
Maryland's Governor Wes Moore bracing the community for a long road to rebuild.
This is a remarkably complex operation, and our focus needs to be on unity of command and unity of effort.
This week, President Biden said he wants the federal government to cover the cost of rebuilding the bridge. He approved Maryland's $60 million request for initial recovery efforts.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Several injuries were reported after a United Airlines flight from Tel Aviv to Newark International Airport was diverted to an airport in Orange County, New York, due to turbulence. The Biden administration greenlighting billions more in U.S. military aid for Israel. Americans taking to the skies this holiday weekend. TSA reported that Thursday saw the most passengers screened at airport checkpoints so far this year, even outpacing volume seen over the winter holiday period. This is ABC News. A California woman was shocked to discover a developer mistakenly built a $500,000 home on her property in Hawaii. She says the development company is now trying to sell his client the home at a discounted price and suing her. That from her attorney, James DePasquale, who's representing the woman.
It would set a dangerous precedent if you could go onto someone else's land, build anything you want, and then sue that individual for the value of it.
Kia is recalling more than 427,000 SUVs due to a rollaway risk. Recent Telluride model vehicles are at the center of the mass recall. A report from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the SUVs can move while in park. A judge in New Mexico denied Rust movie set armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed bid to a new trial. 3 weeks ago, a jury convicted the armorer in the shooting of a cinematographer killed by a live round of ammunition fired from a prop gun held by actor Alec Baldwin. Dave Packer, ABC News.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Mino on the mayor and the mayor on a Thursday.
Wait a minute. That's a whole other show.
He's been on my case.
Delete
all
that
morning.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a family show.
I know.
It's not that. He's just been on my case.
It'll be the only show in history that didn't have one listener.
Mino and the mayor. Weekday morning, 6 till 9. On the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin is one of the first states to join a new effort to get nutritious food to children from low-income families during the summer. Here's Mike Moe.
Governor Tony Evers says Wisconsin is the first state to get the green light for the summer electronic benefit transfer program. 36 other states are poised to launch this summer, too. Eligible households will receive preloaded debit cards that families can use to buy groceries. Shelley Fortner of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse applauds the move, noting half of the kids in the local school district already qualify for free and reduced-price lunches during school.
We've got families with low incomes, most of them working, by the way, but just not able to put that extra meal on the table for kids who are at home during the summer months.
This new permanent program, authorized by Congress, is similar to the enhanced meal access the federal government provided during the pandemic. Throughout Wisconsin, there are separate meal sites for these kids when school isn't in session, but supporters of the new effort say it provides more flexibility, especially for households with limited transportation options. State officials point out that most families already enrolled in the National School Lunch Program will automatically receive the summer benefits. Fortner says meal access aids kids in their learning. For the summer, she says the additional access will help keep them active.
We've had a lot of information about, you know, sedentary activities like video games and TV and all of that. But our kids are now getting outdoors more, and they need to have that energy to be able to keep that up.
She adds this should help foster healthy lifelong habits for kids and prevent them from starting the next school year feeling sluggish. It's anticipated the money will be available in late June. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Conversations and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, highs in the low 40s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Slight chance of rain Sunday with a high of 48. Sunday night, some rain in 35 and more rain for Monday with highs near 47. That's weather on WGBW.
Right now, it's 37.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. I have some great guests joining me today, including music therapist Anna Anadoza Barker from Third Coast Therapy Collective, who will educate me on music therapy. And no, it's not for those that grew up listening to heavy metal. I will also be speaking with Megan Houghton, the education and training specialist from the Autism Society of South Central Wisconsin, about the services they provide and how you can get involved in this year's annual Autism Walk, which will take place April 21st in Fitchburg. In upcoming show news, I just want to let you know April 10th is National Sibling Day. So I had to reach out to Harriet Redman, a fantastic woman who founded WisconSibs. This organization supports siblings with a brother or sister with a disability. Harriet is bringing with her 16-year-old Elsie so she can share her experience living with a brother with autism. I also will be speaking with Stephanie Prim, who is the primary caregiver of her brother with autism. Stephanie was so changed by her experience, she went to become the executive director of Love, Inc., an amazing organization that has the mission of uniting people with developmental disabilities to engage and build their best lives. If you have a sibling and would like to share a caregiving story, I would absolutely love to hear it. You can reach out to me at liza@civicmedia.us. Share your story about your relationship with your sibling or the amazing work that your sibling is doing, whether your sibling is a person with a disability or whether your sibling is just a caregiver out there just slaying it every day and you want to give them a shout out. I would love to hear the stories. Again, liza@civicmedia.us. The following week, I will be speaking with Kelly Pickens, founder of Undivided Attention, who provides expert evaluation, management, and treatment of ADHD in females ages 18 and older. As someone that has ADHD diagnosis, I cannot wait to learn from her and see if there's hope for me yet. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I have some out-of-the-park guests in the works who will join me to talk about all things mental health. So in preparing for Mental Health Awareness Month in May, it dawned on me that there are so many therapeutic modalities out there that go above and beyond just traditional talk therapy. Actually, the definition of therapy is rather vague. The good old Webster's Dictionary defines therapy as a medical treatment of an impairment, injury, disease, or disorder. So personally, I find my dog walking, very therapeutic. Now, it would be much more therapeutic if they actually behaved But nonetheless, I enjoy it even more when I can be out in nature. And again, it's using those senses, the smells, the things that I can see and even feel when I come across something interesting. It really keeps me present, and it's how I stay grounded. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am joined now by Anna Dozola Barker from Third Coast Therapy Collective, who will educate me on another type of therapy, music therapy. Anna is going to explain to me what music therapy is, who can benefit from it, and what results one can expect. Thank you, Anna, so much for being here with me today.
Thank you, Liza, for having me.
So I know I was practicing your last name, and then I started saying it. I'm not sure if I got it right. How about you introduce yourself and make sure we get it right at least once?
Yeah, sounds good. So my name is Anna Andasola Barker. You're very close, Liza.
Gosh, someday.
Yeah, and I recently founded my independent contracting business called Third Coast Therapy Collective. I'm located over in the Milwaukee area.
Wonderful. And so I actually had heard of music therapy years ago, like 25 years ago. A friend of mine's sister actually was going to school to become a music therapist. And so I was like, really? What is that? Is that for people that had to listen to like Rat and Poison and Megadeth growing up? And she reassured me that is not what music therapy is about. So Anna, if that's not what it is, can you tell me what music therapy is?
Yeah, of course. And I'll throw in there that I do have some clients who really love, you know, Rat, Poison, their 80s rock. And we definitely integrate that into our sessions, which is the beautiful thing about music therapy, is really tailoring our sessions to the needs of our clients and our patients, and using music as that modality for doing therapy. One way to think about music therapy, especially for those who are not as familiar with it, is it's the use of music and the elements of music, such as sound, rhythm, harmony, melody, to accomplish goals. And often we might say non-musical goals because we're trying to focus on things such as promoting relaxation, being regulated, right? Finding that happy equilibrium and balance of our emotions and everything that's happening from a sensory standpoint, like you had mentioned earlier, Liza, being grounded, or enhancing social skills, right? Like turn taking, waiting, listening. That's such an important thing that I think everybody can benefit from nowadays. And these are the goals that generalize over into everyday life. These are like functional goals, right? And musical goals can be a byproduct of therapy. For example, I had a client who loved the violin, wanted to learn about violin. The focus was, you know, frustration tolerance, working through something not sounding perfect and sitting and being okay with that. Those were the primary things that we were working on. However, you know, learning the violin was a byproduct of that on top of it. And so that's a little bit of an idea of what music therapy is. Another thing to be aware of is that a music therapist is always present, and music therapists actually go through a lot of extensive training in order to get our certification. So it is a degree. And fortunately, you know, here in Wisconsin, we actually have two colleges and universities who offer music therapy as a degree. And that's at Alverno College and Carroll University. Granted, there's other many wonderful colleges and universities around Wisconsin and in the US as well, which offer music therapy as a degree. And then after you do that educational portion, you go on to do a clinical internship, which is over 1,000 hours of clinical work. Then you take your board certification exam. So that's what I'm referring to when talking about a board certified music therapist. And that's what sort of sets us apart from other music and health based industries. I know it can get a little fuzzy depending on who you're talking to and what profession we're talking about. and we're all very important because there's just so many people out there. This is just one way that we are set apart as music therapists in our field.
That's interesting. And I would love to be a fly on the wall in some of those music therapy courses. I bet it's just fascinating to learn about how this benefits people. Speaking of which, who can benefit from music therapy?
Yeah, almost everybody can benefit from music therapy. You know, we have to acknowledge that there are some people out there who have varying diagnoses where processing music can actually be quite harmful. And that's something that we are constantly aware of with our clients. You know, sometimes that sensory input can just be a little bit too much. And while it might be hard for some of us to kind of conceptualize that, it is really a thing that's out there, and I've seen it myself.
I would believe it. And that's where I go back to that heavy metal music. I love music. I love most types of music, but that 1980s, 90s, whatever, that is too much and hard for me to process. I think that has a very negative effect. So I could see having to work through that. But who else can benefit from music therapy? Are there specific diagnoses that really this is a good match for?
Yeah, so currently I would say some of the bigger kind of areas that you'll see music therapists, right, in terms of settings, are you've got the hospital systems, you have your older adult living facilities, you have even in incarcerated places, you'll see music therapists as well. But from a specific diagnosis standpoint, some of the common clients that you might see in, say, like a private practice setting are those who are on the autism spectrum, those with Down syndrome, ADHD, right? Sort of that developmental delay diagnoses. You'll see a lot of clients who fall under that. And the wonderful thing in Wisconsin is that we do have a couple of waivers that help support both adults and children who fall within these categories to help cover the costs of music therapy. So if you're a caretaker out there who said, maybe, you know, my child would really benefit from this, or I know someone who'd really benefit from this, definitely look into either your county or the state itself to see what sort of services and funding is out there for music therapy. In addition to that, kind of going outside of that little scope, and that's not very little. It's very, it's a big area. It's a big area. Parkinson's disease. So in terms of from a rehabilitation standpoint, we'll find I've done work when I was in my internship using harmonica and working on those oral motor skills just to maintain symptoms for as long as possible, right? Because with some of these diseases, they're degenerative. And so the focus might be on how can we maintain quality of living and our motor skills as long as possible to improve quality of life.
That makes perfect sense. And, you know, I started out saying that I came across music therapy in preparation of Mental Health Month. I would like to know more when we come back, some of the therapeutic benefits of music therapy in dealing with maybe things like PTSD and anxiety, depression, those types of mental health issues that so many of us face. You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I will be back soon to talk more music therapy.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand, and I am speaking with music therapist Anna Andzola Barker from Third Coast Therapy Collective. Music therapy is the use of music interventions to accomplish individualized goals. Easy for me to say. According to the American Music Therapy Association, music therapy interventions can help manage stress, alleviate pain, express your feelings, enhance memory, improve communication, and promote physical rehabilitation. People that can benefit from music therapy, again, according to Music Therapy Association, are those with autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, traumatic brain injury, communication difficulties, emotional and mood differences, and hospice and palliative care. Before the break, I brought up the category, I guess, of emotional and mood differences. This is something that I could see could really be addressed with music therapy. I mean, the right music, right? It can change your world in real time and just really change your perspective and get you present, upbeat, happy. Can you tell me a little bit more, Anna, about using music therapy in mental health?
Yeah, 100%. And you really hit it right on the head, Liza. So in terms of from a mental health perspective, music therapy can really help, you know, boost self-esteem. And it's a safe space to explore and take those risks. That's what we really encourage in our sessions, is providing this space where folks can feel encouraged and safe to explore instruments. Because I feel like right now, I've heard this term before, where we are professional listeners, right? We listen to a lot of music and we kind of have this idea of how music is supposed to sound. And then I think this fear comes into us and we're afraid to explore and just make sounds on instruments. And during a session, it can look a lot of different ways, such as, you know, drumming, songwriting, actively listening to music. And what can happen in these sessions, like you were saying, is it's this cathartic release of getting out and expressing ourselves in a way that where we don't have to talk about it necessarily, right? We can just get it all out on an instrument. If we're feeling stressed, you can just drum away, you know, pound on a piano, do what you need to do to get it out and leave it all there. And what that can do is not only can it help boost your immune system, such as your T cells, which help to combat viruses and cancer, it really can just improve our quality of life because of these endorphins that are released as well, that create these senses of happiness and of satisfaction. And even if we're feeling, you know, if someone's diagnosed with depression or we're feeling very depressed, music can be very motivating as well. It doesn't always feel like we're doing work or we can get to some of that deep stuff, but if we're using music that's motivating, especially for our clients, wonderful and surprising things can happen. I mean, I can't tell you how many times where I've gone into a session and the caregivers are like, wow, they didn't do X, Y, and Z all day. And then they came in and they were just a whole nother person.
You know, that makes so much sense to me. I don't think my house would have ever gotten clean if it wasn't for music, you know, putting on that fun, upbeat music and going through the house. And it makes so much sense because I have really gone down this rabbit hole of late about post-traumatic stress syndrome and how little traumas, that emotion can get stored in your body and you can get triggered by it again and again, decades later. And going through something like music therapy really helps that release. And I would assume that that kind of plays into the immune system part, you know, you're letting go and becoming more resilient. Now, you mentioned a couple different things that you do within music therapy. My first question that popped up is, okay, I can barely hold a beat. I don't know how to play a single instrument. And when I sing, it sounds like a cat got its tail slammed in the door. So music therapy for me, or should I just try something else?
100% for you. You do not need to have any sort of experience with music. You do not have to have any sort of musical skill in order to engage with music therapy and be an active participant. Even if that means sometimes your comfort level is being in a group and sitting there and listening, that's an improvement, right? Because that can be a lot for people. And this kind of goes back to what I'm saying, where I think we have this fear of what we're supposed to sound like versus just letting ourselves be in the moment and, for lack of better words, be one with the instrument.
It makes or your perfect voice. Sense.
Yeah, and being comfortable with that. And so this is where it comes back to also that it's for anybody from any walk of life. And it can be really fun to just be free and to play.
I bet. I mean, it does seem like a very liberating experience, especially, you know, if you incorporate that as part as your healthcare routine. Curious, you know, I said that there's a lot of different therapies out there. I feel like there's new things popping up all the time, which is great news. But why music therapy? What sets it apart from some of the other things going on out there?
Yeah, so a couple things come to my mind. First off, music is a resource or something that's already readily available to us that a lot of people already use as a source for coping and healing. I've heard a lot of times people say, you know, music feels very therapeutic for me because that's what helps them get through, or there might be that certain song that you really resonates you in the moment. And so the beautiful thing is that we as music therapists can help to, as I mentioned, provide that space of support and safety, taking what they know and what they already use as music and going a little bit deeper to reach those goal areas that they may have that we might see that we have to work on top of what they're already doing. So I think, you know, it goes back to it being a motivating factor for a lot of folks. In addition, from a biological standpoint, music utilizes the whole brain when it is processing what's going on. And it's so quick and so rapid. I mean, how many times have you caught yourself maybe tapping your toes to the rhythm or clapping along to the music and you didn't even realize that you were doing it until maybe a minute or so later, even less. But what happens is that it can trigger our autonomic nervous system, the thing that's is connected with our physiological responses, right? Our heart rate, our breathing rate, our blood pressure, which is why it can be very effective, you know, coming back to PTSD. Insomnia is a really big symptom of PTSD. And so relaxation can be a focal point of how to calm that heart rate and our respiration rate to get us into a sense of calm. In addition, it's connected with our limbic system where our emotions are, which is our hippocampus, the memory you'd mentioned before about how it can help with memory, as well as our amygdala, the anxiety, fight, freeze, flight area. And so it can help us have those emotional responses, you know, when we're hearing music, and that's what can bring back those memories.
It sounds like an amazing thing that people should consider and explore. I hate it when we're up on time and I have so many more questions, but let me ask you this. Where can people find you?
So I would highly recommend looking at the Wisconsin Chapter Music Therapy website. That you, there you can find local music therapists in the state of Wisconsin. Otherwise, people can also look on the Certification Board of Music Therapists, CBMT, for additional information for local therapists.
Thank you so much, Anna, for spending time with me today.
Of course. Thank you so much, Liza, for having me.
Take care.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The city of Baltimore is working to clear the wreckage blocking its port after Tuesday's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse.
Maryland's Governor Wes Moore bracing the community for a long road to rebuild.
This is a remarkably complex operation, and our focus needs to be on unity of command and unity of effort.
This week, President Biden said he wants the federal government to cover the cost of rebuilding the bridge. He approved Maryland's $60 million request for initial recovery efforts.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Several injuries were reported after a United Airlines flight from Tel Aviv to Newark International Airport was diverted to an airport in Orange County, New York, due to turbulence. The Biden administration greenlighting billions more in U.S. military aid for Israel. Americans taking to the skies this holiday weekend, TSA reported that Thursday saw the most passengers screened at airport checkpoints so far this year, even outpacing volume seen over the winter holiday period. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers battle the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the first game of the season, and already tempers flared between the Brewers and Mets in New York after Milwaukee's Rhys Hoskins slid hard into second base. Coverage on the Mets TV network.
A tough pickup from McNeil. They're called the out there. And an overslide at second base by Hoskins. And we have some hard feelings as Hoskins has words. Both benches have emptied. The bullpens are joining it as well.
No punches were thrown. Milwaukee went on to win the game 3-1. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
That shows what Rhys is about. He's a big league ball player. He's sending the message that even when you're not having the day you like it to play, you know, I'm going to play hard.
The series wraps up this weekend, followed by the Brewers home opener on Tuesday. College basketball Marquette season came to a close after losing to NC State 67-58 in the NCAA's men's tournament. The Golden Eagles finish with a record of 27-10. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, highs in the low 40s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Slight chance of rain Sunday with a high of 48. Sunday night, some rain in 35 and more rain for Monday with highs near 47. That's weather on WGBW.
Right now, it's 37.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former
Drew
lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. I spoke with music therapist Anna Andazola Barker from Third Coast Therapy Collective. If you missed that interview, you can find the replays at civicmedia.us, Apple and Google Podcast, and Spotify. I am now joined by Executive Director of the Art Therapy House, Jill McNutt. Hi, Jill. Thank you so much once again for joining me on such short notice.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you know, I started the show just talking about how I was preparing for May being Mental Health Awareness Month and going down the therapy route. And I'm like, wow, there are a lot of different therapies out there besides traditional talk therapy. And I think that you do wonderful work, and they deserve some attention and exploration for those that might not be familiar. So, Jill, can you tell me what art therapy is and who can benefit from it?
Well, pretty much anybody with an open mind can benefit from art therapy. Art therapy is grounded in various theoretical orientations. Sometimes it works through psychodynamic theory, where we work on past relationships and family dynamics and even into the archetypical realms of Jungian psychotherapy. It also works from an existential perspective, looking at what makes life meaningful, what draws us in and keeps us interested. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Caregiving is such an important and integral part of our world today. If we didn't have caregivers, our world would fall apart.
Right. Amen.
And now with responsibilities and things being as they are, burnout and fatigue can really be detrimental. So the existential portions of art therapy can really help to give people a sense of purpose and help to move forward. We also work from a Gestalt framework where we believe that what we create is a part of ourselves. And by altering that image of what we created, we're also altering ourselves back. So we live and grow in harmony. What we express is kind of like our psychic DNA, and it helps us to explore things that are going on in our lives.
You know, Jill, how would you know if art therapy is right for yourself or a loved one? I know that you said that it's beneficial to just about everyone, and I could totally see and agree with that. Curious, art, like music, I have little to no talent. Do you have to be an artist to do art therapy?
Absolutely not. In fact, sometimes it's a detriment, because if you look at art as the language, and really what we do is very similar to counseling, and it is counseling in a way through the language of the arts. And sometimes if we're so fluent in things, we learn to cover up old paths, and it doesn't allow some of the stuff to bubble to the top. So an artist who's really skilled at making a certain stylized work will continue to make that stylized work, and the accidents or the surprises don't come up as fluently as they do in people who are not trained artists.
So when it comes to art therapy, I'm thinking of this as the whole age spectrum. What does art therapy look like for someone that's 6 years old opposed to someone that's 80 years old?
I love to look at that developmental spectrum, because when we're children, we can accept all kinds of truths. So every experience that we have is additive. We're learning new behaviors, learning new styles, learning to expand the horizon. So every media that we learn is a different way of interacting with the world. So different perspectives, You can have multiple truths at the same time. When we start to get into adolescence, the brain goes through a natural pruning process and we get a lot of images. I mean, this is not universal, but we get a lot of images of skulls and castles and dragons and that fight that's really happening because an adolescent is struggling to find out who they are and what direction they want to be in. With adults, where it starts to become kind of like you're an archaeologist. All of those truths and patterns have built like walls in the cave and we've got to dig down in order to find the roots of some of the things that people want to change. When we get into geriatrics, some of what we do is legacy and looking at memory, making sure that people feel like they've had a substantial life and that they've contributed. And now there's new research in neuroplasticity that demonstrates that even people in their 80s can create new habits and learn new skills to improve their quality of life.
That I would believe. Let's talk benefits for a moment. For those that experience art therapy or commit to a art therapy as part of their healing process, what are some of the benefits that you can expect to see?
Well, I practice mostly as a medical art therapist, and some of the in my research, I found four basic areas where people benefit. The first is building strength and hope. So we build a positive outlook. We find out those areas that we're strong so that we can carry through whatever struggles we're fighting in the world. Or hope. You know, if you don't have a hopeful outlook or can't see the future, it's hard to move towards the future in whatever direction that may take. Another area is interactive distraction, mindfulness, building resilience. It's so important to not stress and anxiety all the time. So you want to take the time to pull back. And whether that looks like learning to crochet or coloring a mandala or doing some Zentangles, all kinds of art can help us get into that flow state where time kind of melts away and we become in unison with the universe.
You know, I'm curious, is that a skill that you have to work on with people? Because here's what's going on through my head. I love art, enjoying other people's hard work and efforts, you know, art museums but when it comes to me, I see frustration because I'm not an artist. You give me a blank piece of paper and I'll have a panic attack if you want me to do something with it. You know, I'm just curious, do people come in with some of that anxiety and fear around it, or do they just walk in and they're free and present and engaged in art?
Oh no, that anxiety comes with them. And typically people who come into art therapy are coming in because there's something in their life that they're not happy about and they want to change.
I'm curious, what groups of people do you find yourself working with most? Is there a certain client base? You said that you do a lot around the mental health realm, right? Is that correct?
Medical. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but people from all different walks of life, I'm sure, walk through your doors all different needs.
Absolutely. When a family member is diagnosed with cancer or a person's diagnosed with cancer to begin with, I've worked with people who are going through their trials during the cancer journey and different treatment strategies. I've worked with caregivers for those patients. Another area that I specialize in is epilepsy. So particularly when there's a child with epilepsy in the family, the whole family is impacted. So we do a lot of family style work with epilepsy families right here in southeastern Wisconsin.
What about some of the growing diagnosis that we're seeing now, such as autism and dementia, Alzheimer's? Is there a place for art therapy there?
Oh, absolutely. Keeping the brain active is a counteractive to some of the symptoms of dementia. So keeping active, keeping alert really helps a person to feel involved.
That would make perfect sense. And you know, it says on your website, Art Therapy House, Inc. operates as a community-based and outpatient outpatient art therapy practice. Your offerings encompass a range of services, including individual and group art therapy, enriching workshops, and open studio sessions and professional development opportunities. I was really impressed. I went down the rabbit hole of some of your group offerings. They sounded really amazing. Can you tell listeners more about some of your services?
Oh, absolutely. Our staple group is a Friday open studio. And that happens every Friday. It always has a directive process and it's open to anyone. So we've had people as young as 3 and as old as 80 show up and make art together. It's just a community experience.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. What are some of the other group offerings that you have?
We have a mandala group. We have a mandala group, which really works around that meditative practice, that mindfulness. That happens, I think, every Wednesday evening. And they have a really big turnout of people that just want to spend a little bit of time in that creative atmosphere, letting things go and quieting down. So it's a good place to rehearse that mindfulness. We also have groups for teens. And we have groups on Saturdays for called the Contemplation Group, where people are considering making a change in their life. It's based upon the trans-theoretical model of readiness to make a change in their life. So people come in there and we work together. It's a therapy group, essentially, helping to encourage people to move to the next step.
I'm really intrigued about that. I need to show up for that class. I'm in that camp. But walk me through that. How does art help me in making these big life transitions?
Aha, because it objectifies what's going on inside of you. When you make a piece of art, you reflect on it, and it takes those pieces that are inside and so difficult to see, and it puts them out so that we can reflect on them and make meaning of them.
Ah, I love that. Where can people find you?
Well, a few places. We're at the Art Therapy House, info@arttherapy.org. Our website is arttherapyhouse.org. Our website is arttherapyhouse.org. I also am the director of the Graduate Art Therapy Program at Edgewood College. That's out in Madison. And so if anybody would be interested in a career in art therapy, I'm always happy to talk about that, too. The studios are drop-in. So if you find a studio on the website, you're free to drop in at any time during those studios. And all of them are run by qualified art therapists.
That's wonderful. And your physical location is in the Milwaukee area, correct?
Yeah, we are one block north of Milwaukee on Tetonia Avenue, 7646 North Tetonia Avenue in Brown Deer.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. So today I have been talking about all the different kinds of therapies that are out there outside of just traditional talk therapy and who could benefit. And I don't think I could sleep at night if I didn't talk a little bit about dance therapy. It's another therapy that really engages all of your senses and forces you, I guess, I don't know if force is the right word, but to be present, to be in the moment. The American Dance Therapy Association states that dance/movement therapy is practiced in mental health treatments, educational settings, nursing homes, and daycare centers. It's effective for individuals with developmental, medical, social, physical, and psychological impairments. I found a quote from Valerie Kattenfeld, who is a dance coach with over 20 years experience, and she wrote that dance has been a source of her well-being and happiness. She says, energy moves within me. Emotions are also one kind of energy, and that transforms while we dance. And so she believes, as well as I believe, everyone should incorporate music for therapeutic purposes. She goes on to state that dance can be the new form of meditation. When we move, we think less. And when we don't hold on to resentment and past, we're able to let it go and get out of our bodies. And then lastly, that dance activates us and stimulates positive sensations of joy, confidence, power, vitality, creativity, connection, love, trust, passion. Totally makes sense. When you go to a wedding at the reception, you don't gather and watch a documentary about the Holocaust, right? You get together and you dance and you move and you connect and you feel the joy and the love. And I feel the joy and the love with you every week on The Empowered Caregivers. See you next week.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving! Get it moving!"
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. For some local news in caregiving in my neck of the woods, on Sunday, April 21st, the Autism Society of South Central Wisconsin will be holding its annual walk. This year's goal is to raise $60,000 to help continue programs like Autism 101 workshops, support and social groups for individuals on the spectrum, as well as caregiver support groups and monthly enrichment activities. So to tell me more about the walk that's coming up and some of the great work that the Autism Society of South Central Wisconsin does, I have invited Megan Huffton, the Education and Training Specialist from the Autism Society of South Central Wisconsin. Hi, Megan. Welcome to The Empowered Caregiver.
Thank you so much for having us here. It's an honor.
Yes, you bet. So can you tell me more about this year's annual walk, where people can register, if there's a theme behind it, any information that you want to share?
Perfect. So yes, like you mentioned, this year's walk is on Sunday, April 21st. And we love doing it in April, which is, of course, Autism Acceptance Month. So bringing the community together to celebrate our local autism community. It's at McKee Farms Park in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, which is where we had it last year as well. It's about a 1 mile walk. It's all on a paved ground. So wheelchairs and strollers and things like that are more than welcome. Our theme this year is We Shine Brighter Together. So we really love to focus on, you know, when we all come together, you know, our communities, our schools, our families, we can do great things in terms of supporting our autism community and raising that acceptance and awareness throughout our local communities.
Ah, I love that. We shine brighter together. Yes, yes, we do. But you know what? This walk is not the only big event that you have going on in the month of April. So I was on your website and I came across the Autism Acceptance Day at the Capitol on April 2nd. Not sure if you're the right person to ask about that, but do you have any information that you'd want to share about that big event?
Yes, of course. I'll be there and I've been helping with the planning. So this is an annual event we do. So like I mentioned, April is Autism Acceptance Month and April 2nd is kind of World Autism Acceptance Day. And so on this day, we like to gather at the Capitol and we will have different members of different legislators that join us and speak about autism acceptance and the importance of that. We have autism advocates from across the state. It's an event that we put on with the other Autism Society affiliates in Wisconsin. So we have a branch in Greater Wisconsin, and we have one in Southeastern Wisconsin as well. So we all come together on this day, and we read the governor's proclamation. And so it's just a really great day to come together. And we encourage individuals who come, if they want to schedule an appointment later with their representatives, to kind of talk about, you know, different issues regarding autism and legislation that are important to them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Just a little history on my autism story. Yeah. So I have a 20-year-old son on the autism spectrum. He was diagnosed shortly after 2 years old. And there was a lot of advocacy work to be done at that time. So 20 years ago, autism was, I don't want to say it was a new thing. It's always, I think, been around, but but the diagnosis rates were rapidly increasing, and it was, you know, making all of the headlines, and it was all about awareness, awareness, awareness. And so I personally had done some advocacy work around getting in autism covered by insurance, because back in the day when my son was diagnosed, it was not covered by insurance. It was considered a pre-existing condition. So there was a lot of work to be done at the Capitol. So we've kind of moved past this awareness. Unless you've recently got dropped off on this planet, we're pretty aware of autism. Yeah. And, you know, we moved into the acceptance. We're here. Yeah. This is who we are. We have tons of gifts and abilities. You know, let's roll out the acceptance red carpet and embrace the neurodiversity that our world offers, right? And then became the big push for inclusion. How do we include people with autism in this society? How do we make this seamless and not have these chunky fragments? And so I'm just curious on the awareness or the acceptance day. Is that what Autism Acceptance Day at the Capitol? Are there some key issues that you're still really advocating for, or is it really just based on people's personal stories and needs?
I mean, I definitely think we do put a strong emphasis on the personal stories and needs, like really highlighting what it's like for individuals with autism, you know, the supports that they need, making sure they have access to that when they need it. But we're always, there's always still work to be done, you know, so improving healthcare experiences. We've been partnering with healthcare providers over the last year on really making healthcare appointments, the vaccine process, you know, a more sensory friendly and accommodating experience for individuals, working with law enforcement to make those interactions more accommodating, because we all know that there's some challenges there. So there's always still work to be done at that advocacy level, but really trying to bring in those autistic voices and letting them share their struggles, their journeys, and their experiences as well.
That makes perfect sense. Sounds like you got a little pooch in the background that's advocating for autism too. Thank you, doggy. Thank you, doggy-o. So, you know, the Autism Society has come so far as what you have to offer. From when I first came across your organization almost 20 years ago. Just curious if we could end on just a quick explanation of our rundown, I guess, of some of the services that are available through the Autism Society.
Absolutely. So we have a wide range of services and supports that we offer. So for autistic adults, we have support groups that meet in person or virtual as well. We also try and offer pretty much monthly some kind of autistic social opportunity as well. They had their first Oktoberfest this past year. So just, you know, museum tours, hikes, things like that for those social situations. We have a resource directory on our website. So if you are looking for, you know, a mental health provider or a therapist or a doctor, you can go on there. You can search by county. You can search by insurance type. We also offer information and assistance. So you can call in and we can help you find resources in your area as well. And then lots of sensory-friendly activities for the whole family.
Tons of activities, tons of ways to get involved. Your resource guide was life-saving to me way back in the day. Thank you so much, Megan, for all the work that...
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Chihuahua.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightlight with P. Chihuahua, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The long road to recovery after the Baltimore Bridge collapse. ABC's Jay O'Brien is in.